Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
So, I want to minister today on a tender subject. It may hit some nerves in some of your lives. I know, you know, whenever you're preparing a message, God deals with you. And so I was kind of back and forth. The AV guys will tell you I was back and forth between two messages. Anyway, but because I didn't want to be just what the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. I wanted to make sure it was going to be something that would be something that would benefit you also. You know, you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit's ministering to you, and just because He's ministering to you doesn't mean it's everybody's message. You got that? So the challenge in being a speaker is hearing from God. God, what do you want for the women? You know, and yeah, we have our own sidebar and we have our own thing going on, but what do you want for the ladies? And He loves you. I'll tell you, He loves you, because He switched me up at 7 o'clock last night. And so I was a little frustrated because I thought it was way ahead of the game, but God loves you. And I believe this message is truly for you this morning. But before we get maybe a little bit heavy, I don't know, I want to tell some jokes. So everybody say, aw. Okay, so my message is entitled Without Regret. We're going to live our lives without regret. Amen? So I'm going to tell you some regret jokes. I was surprised. There are regret jokes. I was so surprised. I regret rubbing ketchup in my eyes, but that's hindsight. Heinz, get it? It's better if you can read that one. Okay. What's a panda's biggest life regret? A panda. Never had a selfie in color. When people tell me I'll regret this in the morning, I sleep till noon. Anyway, those were just a few little funnies to get you laughing before we dig deep. But I just wanted to talk to you, share from my heart a little bit, and I think that living on the planet, we all go through things. And one of the challenges of aging, there are many, but one of the challenges of aging is that you now do have a lot of hindsight, a lot of hindsight, the older you get. And there's things that are good in your past that you felt warm fuzzies about and you're excited about, and you can see God moved in that situation and you have a testimony and it's wonderful. And then there's some things that maybe aren't so good, that you're standing in faith over, that you haven't seen the end result. That many times it's those things that the enemy can harass you over and try to tell you that your faith didn't work, or try to tell you that it's done, that it's over. I remember when it first hit me, actually, I'm kind of a slow learner, so I was actually in my late 50s, early 60s when it hit me that I was aging. I don't know, I lived in denial a lot. I didn't get married till my early 30s, so I've been kind of off from a lot of my constituents by about 10 years. You know, friends that had their babies in their 20s now have kids that are my grandkids, how does that work? They have grandkids that are my kids' age and things like that. So anyway, but I remember when it started to really hit me, and I remember having this conversation with Pastor Deborah and going, so it's over? I mean, that's it? I mean, I'm done? I mean, I wasn't ready for this, you know? And there's this feeling of panic, like, wait, I've got so much more I want to do. I've got so much more life I want to live. I've got so much more I want to do for God. Anybody else with me? And it's not that God can't use you, but it's, I think, more really indicative of our culture, that our culture really esteems the younger, and that's good. I love all the energy. I love young people. I would, you know, I love, like, I go to Zumba on Monday nights with Pastor Nicole over here, and I love her. She's just like this fireball, spitfire, and I was like, I feel good now. I had this cheerleader working in my life for the last hour. But anyway, so it can be an adjustment. And some of the things that we learn and have learned as we do have more experience and we are more mature, God wants to use that. But then we have to pray many times for this younger generation that they'll want to receive what we have to share, because, you know, aging and the elderly and maturity isn't necessarily esteemed in our culture. It is in many cultures, you know, where there's three generations living together and, you know, and, you know, I remember I had a Japanese friend one time and Bachan ruled the house, Bachan, you know, and, you know, so it just depends on, again, on the context of your life. But there's one of the attacks that can come is this thing called regret. And I want to address it today because I feel like it can happen at any season where there seems to be something that has happened and it's finished and it's final. And sometimes it can be actually the death of a loved one because they're now gone. And we know we're going to see them forever. We know that we're going to be with them in eternity if they've received Jesus. We know that, all of that. Mentally, we know that. In our heart, we know that. But if there's any unfinished business or if there's more that we felt like we should have said or done, you cannot do that. Are you with me? And so there's this sense of, what do I do with that? And I believe God's going to bring some help and some blessing to us this morning. Many times there's this feeling of, if I'd only, what if I? And Pastor Deborah calls it playing coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, you want to, there's a sense of looking back, and you can actually stay stuck there and not be able to move forward. And God wants us to move forward in Him. Amen? Webster's defines regret as sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond one's control or power to repair, an expression of distressing emotion, such as sorrow. Another definition means to mourn the loss or death of, you know. And sometimes we're actually in a state of mourning over something that we've lost that doesn't seem to be regained. And sometimes it's a relationship, and you can actually grieve those things, you know, because there's this sense that I can't fix this. And so what do you do with those emotions? First of all, I want to say, probably above everything, is that the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us. Amen? We've not been left alone on the planet. We don't, as the Apostle Paul said, we don't mourn as other people that have no hope. The Holy Spirit has been sent to help us. One of His names is, He's called the Helper. Another translation calls Him the Comforter. In the Amplified, you get all the definitions. He's the comforter definitions, the comforter, the helper, the standby, the advocate. He advocates for us on our behalf. He has been called alongside, another translation says, He's been called alongside us to help us. And Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you know that He's with you. Amen? So John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father. This was Jesus speaking. If you ever want to just bless your socks off, just bless yourself extra. In one sitting, read John 14:15-16, just all in one sitting. That's when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit coming. He was trying to prepare His disciples. He said, I'm going away, but don't worry. One is coming. He's not just going to be with you, but He's going to be in you. So He was talking to them, and He said, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. See, Jesus had been helping them, and it was great when He was with them. But then He was saying, He will give you another helper, capital H, that He may abide with you forever. So He doesn't leave because you're going through a difficult time. He doesn't leave because you've aged. He doesn't leave because you've made some mistakes. Actually, when we blow it big time, that's when He'll help us the most, because we desperately need that. Amen? And we know that, we know when we make a mistake, we know that there's 1 John 1:9, that He's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we've made a mistake, if we've sinned, if we've done something wrong, we know there's that forgiveness. But again, it's what we do with the after effects, how we walk through this sense of loss that can go on in our life. What happens many times, not only God forgives us for sin, but sometimes in our lives, when we are still overcoming and we have not overcome a sin of the heart or an attitude, we can actually repeatedly do what is wrong. Are you with me? I know you're all looking very respectable this morning, and you all just, the first time you pray, man, you're delivered, and that's good. But what happens when we repeatedly sin and others are affected and we don't actually change, or it's a while before we change? Or maybe you've been like me, you've had that aha moment where you realize you've had a really, really stinking attitude. You've been really, really bad, and you were oblivious. And now you're looking back at, I've had that attitude for that long. You know, your eyes are open. Are you with me? Does this happen to you? You know, you're just minding your own business in the Word of God, and suddenly He opens up this whole thing, and you were actually justifying yourself to God and yourself, and you just thought you were peaches and cream. And then He just pulls the cover back, and you are nasty and ugly. You have been bad. And there's no other thing to call it than just bad. Bad, bad, bad. But you've been bad for a while. So now you have a reputation for being bad. And you have a bad trail of people you were bad to. Yeah, you know, like that sister-in-law that was never good enough for your brother. Yeah, you've been bad to her for a long time. Or that woman that your son married that, you know, you told him not to, but he did anyway. I mean, you know, we're left with some of these things living on the planet. And it's a while sometimes before the lies can come on and God can show us that we need to repent. And in the meantime, like I said, there's reputation. There's people that were hurt. There's an aftermath of your bad behavior. When you sin, you continue to sin. You don't really allow the Holy Spirit to actually bring change in your life. That you run the risk of hardening your heart. And that's why it's so dangerous. You know, if the Holy Spirit tries to get your attention on something and you just, not going to go there, not going to listen to that one, your heart hardens a little bit. And then the next time He tries to get your attention, I'm not going there. Nope. I want you to look at this 1 Corinthians 13. I don't want to look at that scripture. No. And so your heart can get a little bit harder, can get it a little bit harder. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Do I hear an amen? And that's the tricky thing about deception. You don't know you're deceived. You don't know. I always say, you don't know what you don't know. And so to the person that's deceived, what is wrong is still right for them. Because they're believing a lie. The lie becomes truth for them. And that's why we have to pray for people's eyes to be open. Or we begin to reap the results of those bad attitudes, which God calls sin, not just our actions. And there can be a loss of respect that people have for you. So until you actually turn and change, bad behavior can have some effects and some results in your life. There's a God side to our lives, and there's a people side to our lives. Have you figured that out? There's a God side to our lives, and God forgives us immediately. And the Holy Spirit's been called alongside to help us. And His mercies are new every morning. Aren't you glad? But the people side is that people can be not so quick to forgive. You know, you changed. You had that good time with God in the morning, and you're totally changed. And you're never going to do that again, and you're just sweet. But you've had how many years of being bad? And they don't turn on a dime like God does. Are you with me? Well, God has put us in families for a reason. He's put us in families for a reason. And that's kind of like your love incubator. That's where we learn how to love. And that's why families can be challenging. We always pray harder through the holidays because you know what? All that extended family all comes together and sits around the table or exchanges gifts. And sometimes it's wonderful and amazing, and sometimes it's not so wonderful. You know, when Uncle Ted comes drunk and all that kind of stuff. Are you with me? So God has put us in families that we can grow and learn about His kingdom of love. God's called us to be members of one body, and the scripture I read in Hebrews 3 shows us how much we need each other, that we're to exhort one another daily while it's called today. And we learned through the pandemic how much we need real church. Are you with me? Zoom wasn't enough. You didn't get it on Zoom because you're all looking, you know, you're looking at them. They're looking at you, but there's not this vital connection of hugging and sharing and crying and all of that that goes on when you actually are gathered together. And God knew what he was doing. He called us to gather and to be part of one body. Romans 12:5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." But in that setting, we learn about this kingdom of love also. And see, that's why the enemy so many times wants to isolate us, wants to get us off by ourselves, wants to tell us that people don't like us and that friends rejected us and all these lies. Because if he can isolate us, which he did for the last year and a half, it was bizarre. But if he can isolate us, then he can tell us what he wants. And we get into this weird mind thing that is just all lies. It's not true. But we come together with the Spirit of God, and we hug with our sister, and we share with our sister, and we pray with other brothers and sisters in the Lord, and the light shines in, and we leave that place going, that was a lie. I was listening to a lie. Have any of you had that moment where maybe you're really going through something? You're not possessed, but there's some oppression going on, and you're just allowing a negative lie to take root in your thinking. Are you with me? Is this okay? And yet when you come together in that corporate worship, in that body, and share with a sister or even open up about what you're going through, there is that power in agreement that the Bible talks about. There's the power of prayer that's broken off of you like it was this morning. And you are set free by the Spirit of God, and we need that. And that's vital. Amen? So, God forgives us. Repentance is so easy with God. You know, he said, 1 John 1:9, I already quoted it, but he said, if you confess your sin, you can't justify it, you can't defend it, but if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin every time and cleanse you from all unrighteousness like it never happened. The Bible says he throws it into a sea of forgetfulness. He delivers it as far as the east is from the west. It's gone in the mind of God. But then we have the people factor. Amen? So what do we do when we realize we've had some bad behavior? This is the tough part, is we have to make those relationships right. We have to do all we can to make it right. Now, sometimes I've prayed with people and cried with people that they're trying. They've done their part, but then the other person won't forgive them. Or there's still something there, and they can't make that go away. Well, that's God's part, and that's where prayer comes in. And you can't always crawl inside that other person's body and make them change or forget all the bad behavior you had toward them. But I love Matthew 5:23. It says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you or your sister, leave your gift there before the altar." In other words, don't even come and give a gift, either a, you know, sacrificial heart gift or finances. Until you've done this, it says, "And go your way. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer the gift." So Jesus said, when you love each other, you love him. And we have to do all we can to make those relationships right. Are you with me? And again, it can be toughest in our family. It can be toughest with people that don't know the word like you do. And they don't get forgiveness. They don't know all that. All they know is you don't like them and they don't like you. I mean, that's where the relationship is kind of at. But if you talk to God and he's changed your heart and you lift it up to him and you ask him for a door of utterance and you ask him to make a way, then be bold to go to that person and say, "Please forgive me. I remember I had to repent to my sister-in-law." That's why I can talk about sister-in-laws. "She was not good enough for my brother. There's just no way that was possible." But so in my 16-year-old world, by that time I was 20, I'm sorry. But in my 20-year-old world, I was kind of mean and nasty to her because I didn't like her. I liked that other girl he was almost engaged to. And so I had a lot of years of being ugly. And then came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Spirit. I had to make that right. I had to go to her and ask her to forgive me. She probably doesn't even remember. But I remember it was one of the hardest conversations I had to go to her and say, I'm so sorry. I've been really mean to you. And you guys are married now. God said, hey, they're married. You have to honor marriage. So I had to, you know, I had to work to bury that hammer or bury that hatchet. Is that what you say? Bury that something, whatever I was hitting her with. I had to bury that. So is this hitting home with anybody? Is this where we live? We have to be bold to try to do everything on our part to make that relationship right. Because God wants to use us. And he wants us to be a witness in our family. And he wants to bring his love into our family. I so appreciated, I'm looking at her right here, Darlene, last week. Can you hear me, Darlene? Are you there? Sometimes she's straining. But she shared with our senior moments last Thursday about how she, I was going to share a little bit later, how she stood in faith for her marriage for 20 years. She said it was a horrible marriage she stood in faith for. And God did such an amazing work. He ended up teaching in Bible college with her and everything. So God really turned that around. But the thing that, one of the things that blessed me so much is that how she prays for her family and how she prays for the extended family. She's got great children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren now. And how she has a little book for each one of them with pictures in it and scriptures. And she'll give it to like her daughter-in-law or something of all the scriptures she's praying for her family. But that's like your first, that's your first ministry right there. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit working in that immediate situation, if we don't see fruit and things going on in that situation, we can't just ignore it and then go out here and act like we're so spiritual with everybody else. You do you see what I'm saying? We've got to be real and work on the things that God, work on the family and the people that he's put in our lives to believe for a good relationship and the word of God to be working in those situations. Amen? So talking about regret, though, things that we didn't do right that seem like they can't be fixed. How do I get past that feeling of regret over past decisions? Number one, sometimes we feel like we've disappointed ourselves, but we've also disappointed God. Number one, God can't be disappointed. God is not disappointed in you today. If you feel like there was a season of your life where you missed an opportunity or you didn't walk through a door or you weren't what you were supposed to be during that season, God is not disappointed in you. See, so much of this is because we're in a time realm. We think on a time continuum that, you know, it's linear. We were born here and we live our life and we go meet with Jesus over here and we're in time. But where God sits, there is no time. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. It's like going down spokes for him. He can be here in the Garden of Eden or here at the return of Jesus. There is no time, and we can't even grasp that. So don't let that finite thinking stop the possibilities in your mind of reconciliation coming, of change coming, of God working. He is not disappointed in you. His mercies are new every morning. And we're going to look at the scripture in just a minute, how he turns everything for good because he loves us. And number two, this is kind of a sidebar. This is just kind of free. You can't feel guilty for decisions your adult children make. Do I hear an amen? If you know that you did all you could do, you and your husband, or even you were a single mom, you did all you could do to raise them and nurture in the admonition of the Lord. Again, we weren't perfect, but we did all we knew with the integrity of our hearts to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then as they reach adulthood, they come into a place of having their own relationship with God. And you have to be able to allow them to make those decisions and work on their own testimony. Amen? God made Adam and Eve. God was the perfect, perfect father. God is God. Perfect love. Perfect. And yet Adam and Eve still made that wrong choice that caused sin to be unleashed in the whole world. And one of their kids was a murderer. So we have to do what God leads us to do and to be faithful to that. And as we make our mistakes along the way, we repent and he helps us and all of that. But know that even God could not make everyone make right choices. Are you with me? In Genesis 6, 3, and then 5 through 6, it says basically that God repented that he made man. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. That's Father God. And so, praise God, he sent Jesus. Aren't you glad? And Jesus has become our reconciliation. Hallelujah. So let's just look at these feelings of regret for a minute. Let's talk about this just a little bit more. Number one, they are feelings, and you have to identify that. Feelings of regret, feelings of remorse, feelings of, I can't go back, I can't change that. That you want to feel frustrated, you want to be stuck. You want to, or you feel like you just want to stay in bed or be depressed over it because it seems like there is no hope. Those are feelings. They're feelings. And they are the outcry of your thought life. What you're thinking about affects your feelings. And so we have to work on that. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I like to quote that. We walk by faith and not by feelings. Because your feelings can be flaky. And I'll tell you, as you get older, if you haven't hit that zone already, there's something called hormones. And it can do weird things to you. Make you feel saved one day and not so saved the next. And it's nothing more than you don't have enough estrogen right now. Are you with me? So feelings, we walk by faith. We walk by God's word. We look to his word. We believe what he says. And if your feelings aren't in line with that, then you need to sort of analyze what you're thinking about because that's what's affecting your feelings. Amen? If you've been forgiven, then you've got to believe that and receive your forgiveness and begin to walk by faith in it. Isaiah 61, 7 says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Some of us need to grasp this scripture today and really write it on post-it notes and put it all over and commit it to memory. Instead of your shame, which that's how you feel when you're feeling regret and remorse. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Everlasting joy shall be ours in his presence. Amen? So he's giving us double honor for shame. Philippians 3:13 in the New Living Translation says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. This was the Apostle Paul. He was responsible for Christians having been imprisoned and even killed before, as Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, before he had that Damascus Road experience. This is what he said. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. This has to be our focus. Forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. The past is in the past. As one person said, you can't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. You will crash. The past is, and he said, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We've got a job to do, ladies. We've got to be available for the master. We've got to be used of him to reach out with loving hands, with filled hands to the needy. And we can't if we're stuck in our own zone. If we're stuck feeling coulda, shoulda, woulda, why didn't I, and what happened, and all this. We've got to commit that to him, commit that to God, and then move forward in him, forgetting the things which are behind, committing everything that can't be changed to a loving, merciful, heavenly Father, and then press forward, reach forward, strive forward for the new day and the new thing he wants to do in us and through us. Are you with me? Amen. So what is it that you need today? Where are you at? Have some of your nails been hit on the head? Maybe a little bit too hard. Thanks a lot, Pastor Sue. No. What is it that you need today? I've been standing in the gap for my son for almost 10 years now. My son was raised in church, was active in youth. God used him mightily. I know people that received Jesus through him. He went on the mission field, several countries. You know, he loved God. I had those conversations. You know your son. But he's so far away from God right now. I almost can't believe it, you know. And so I'm with you. I know what it's like to almost not even want to fellowship with God because I'm just tired of ending up in a puddle on the ground. But we have to acknowledge that if we love our child, if we love those in our lives, how much more does God love them? You weren't bad enough as a parent to stop God from reaching your adult children. You couldn't have been bad enough. I know some kids that are on fire for God that have some really bad parents, and I remind God about that too. I knew that parent. That was a really bad parent. How can he be on fire for God? Anybody ever did that? God knows what you're thinking anyway, whether you admit it or not. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I'm sorry. I have this brain that goes there. You can't make a big enough financial mistake that God can't turn it around. You thought you blew it? You thought that your ship came in and sailed away? You thought, where'd that savings go? And what happened when the housing market crashed back in 2008? We're in a bubble again, but I'll tell you, the bubble bursts eventually. So don't put your heart on these material things. But you cannot have made a big enough mistake that God can't fix and God can't heal. Amen? Amen. That failed marriage, maybe you have shame over the word divorce. Maybe you were the one that even initiated it. Maybe there was an unplanned child that you had, or maybe it was unplanned. And so in your frailty, in your weakness, you terminated that pregnancy. These can be all things that the enemy harasses you about, that he says, you know, you can't go back and fix that. You can't. But you know what? It's in the hands of a loving Father. And so you can commit that to him. You cannot make a mistake too big that God can't turn it around. And I love Romans 8:28. I feel like I've almost worn out the scripture. For we know that all things work together for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. God magically, I know I don't really like that word, but that just makes it real to me. He magically works even our mistakes for good because we love him. We have to hang in there. We have to keep playing till we win. But he will work it for good. And sometimes our kids are working on their testimonies, and when you think, man, how God is going to use this kid, that gives you hope. And this is free for anybody else that's standing in faith for adult children. Pastor Deborah gave it to me, and it's just one of my precious promises that I hang on to. Jeremiah 31:16-17. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. Do I hear an amen? Do I hear an amen? This is where we live, ladies. We're in a culture with a lot of influence and a lot of demonic activity. And everything that was even in this country that was even, you know, founded in Christian principles, have those boundaries, those landmarks have just been moved so quickly that there's not even something in society that will tell our kids that some of these things are wrong. There's not even, you know, there were certain things that I didn't do in high school, not because of Jesus. I didn't want to do them because, oh my gosh, if I did that and anybody found out. But that's not that way now. And so we have to realize that. But your children are coming back to their own border. So let's position ourselves to receive today. Are you ready? Let's position ourselves to receive. Number one, you've got to resist negative thoughts that remind you of your past failure, whatever it was. You've got to resist those thoughts. You've got to resist them. I love 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." We have to resist wrong thoughts with the word of God. And when God gives you a faith-filled promise, you have to speak that to negate those thoughts, to come against those thoughts. The word of God, we've learned, the word of God is a sword, and it goes forth and it cuts the power of that thought over your mind. You can't just play mental gymnastics. Why am I thinking of that? And maybe if this, then this. And he'll just get you in a spin cycle. How many have been tired of the spin cycle? Don't let it last all day. As soon as you start having those negative feelings that bring thoughts of depression, that make you want to stay in bed, that make you want to just give up or feel like there's no hope, you have to address it, that this is a lie from the pit of hell making me feel this way. And Father, I thank you for your word. You are the God of all hope. If you don't know any scripture, he's the God of all hope. We always play till we win in him. Just begin to lift your hands and praise him and worship in him and thank him for everything that's true and good and real in his word. And it's the truth of God's word that will absolutely stop that lie and cut it from having any power over your feelings and over your thought life. Amen. So we resist those thoughts with the word of God, and we say what God says about the situation. Number two, we commit the emotional care of it to God. This is a scripture I use a lot in messages because it's just still always comes back to this for me. But we commit the emotional care of it to God. Of course we love that child. Of course we love that person. Of course there were expectations we had over that, the finances that were going to be for something or whatever. And there is that sense of loss. But we commit the emotional concern and care of that to God. And we say, "Here, God, you take it. I cast the care, the whole weight of this upon you because you care for me." 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." In other words, it's humility to do this. You can't deal with it on your own. You're not God. Only God can deal with some of these matters of the heart and change in situations. The situation may need totally changed around. Only God can bring that change. It's not your great manipulation. It's not your great figuring it out. It's not your, "Well, if I do this, then this," and forget it. You commit the whole care of it to God and say, "God, I can't deal with this, but you can. So I commit it into your loving hands. I give you the care of this, the concern of this, the weight of this. I humble myself to say that I can't do it, but you can." And you commit it to him. It says, "Casting all of your care," I love the Amplified here, says, "once and for all, you commit all the care on him, for he cares for you." The Amplified says, "He cares for you watchfully." He cares about us so much. He cares about us more than we care about ourselves. He died for us. He gave us the most precious thing to his heart, his own son, that he could buy us back into relationship with him. And he does not like it when these things harass us and hold us back and we don't move forward in him. Are you with me? And then three, just stay in praise mode. You got to stay in praise mode. If you're in faith and the prayer has been answered, because we believe we receive when we pray, right? We all know Mark 11:24. If you've been around here any time at all, we believe we receive and then we have it. But sometimes it's a long time walking it out. And so what you have to do is you got to just live in praise mode. And so when you start to go there, when your brain starts to go there, you just throw up your hands and say, "Father, I thank you. I thank you that you got it. It's in your hands." I love Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Another translation says it will act like an umpire, deciding with finality what is right and wrong. And so the peace of God is what we need to walk in. Is God still working in the situation? Yes. Can we still preach and witness to people and walk in love and pray for people when we're on our journey and there's still answers, prayers that need answered? Absolutely. He's using us along the way. If you're trying to convince someone that you're perfect anyway, well, that's another message. We need that message. But live in praise mode. And just a practical suggestion. I combine things sometimes. You know how you don't think about brushing your teeth in the morning? Hopefully you just brush them, right? I mean, there's a lot of things we do as a habit and a routine. My shower time is my praise time. I don't know. I just always coupled. I take a shower every morning mostly. But I mean, and so in the shower, you know, I'm just soaping up and I'm just praising him and I'm thanking him. I'm praising him for everything that's wonderful about my husband, praising him for everything that's wonderful about my kids. You know, because sometimes living life, you're faced with things that aren't so wonderful. And so every day, I need to praise him and thank him for everything that's good and precious and wonderful in my life. So become, you can't praise and be depressed at the same time. It just doesn't work. And so when you're praising God for everything that's good and wonderful in your life, your mind and your thoughts are now going to those things, and it's lifting you up, and you don't have any brain room for all that other stuff. Are you with me? And then number four, this is how we overcome these and how we position ourselves to receive the answered prayers in our life, is we need to have a ready answer. Now, this is something that you have to do intentionally. If there's something that's still a tender spot in your life, maybe you're believing for your healing. You're believing for finances. You're believing for something that maybe you've had people pray with you over. And until you have the finished product, until you have the manifestation of the answered prayer, there's going to be days that you're not going to always be doing all this exactly right, and you're not going to feel wonderful. But if you have sat down with the Holy Spirit and you have a ready answer, you have something that you are in faith, and it's your faith statement over that area, then when they ask you about it, that's what you're going to say instead of, oh, sister. And I'm not saying you can't ever have those moments. We need each other. Don't get me wrong. And this is the safe place. This is the place to do it. But I found when God showed me some things about my son, when he showed me that the last chapter had not been written, I remember that day. He said the last chapter has not been written. And that he's working on his testimony and what a light he's going to be in that whole culture of people. Now I say that when people ask about him. I go, well, he's still working on his testimony. The last chapter hasn't been written. He's acting ugly right now. But God's got a plan and a purpose and a call in his life. But get those nuggets down in your heart. Get those scriptures in your heart so that that can be what comes out of your mouth. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we need to have a faith confession, a faith statement. We need to be declaring what we believe beyond what our feelings might be like that day over the situation that may be need to be turned around or that we're tempted to feel remorseful about. Are you with me? 1 Peter 3:15 in the Passion Bible says, "But give reverent honor in your hearts to the Anointed One and treat him as the Holy Master of your lives. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith." Have a ready answer. Have a faith conviction that you're saying about that situation so that you can continue to stay in faith. Amen? So we don't have to feel sheepish. We don't have to feel ashamed. We're living on the planet with a very bad devil, but we have a faithful God. And as I said before, we play till we win in him. And I know, where did that scripture go? Okay. I quoted it here, but I thought I had it spelled out. Oh, yeah, I do. I'm sorry. I didn't include the first part of it. Sorry. Romans 4:17, the last part of it. You can read the whole context about Abraham. But in Romans 4:17, the last part, it said, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Isn't that good? He calls things that don't exist as though they did. He called Abraham the father of many nations before he had one child. So you can call your child saved. You can call that husband saved. You can call that marriage fixed. You can call those finances in. You can call that healing on your body. You can say what doesn't exist at that moment as if it did. And that's faith. Amen? God did that with faithful Abraham. And he's the father of faith, the father of many nations. And we're to follow his example. So how do we overcome feelings of regret and shame? Number one, we resist negative thoughts with the word of God. Number two, we commit the care, the concern of it once and for all to God. We stay in praise mode concerning the situation. Live in praise. Just let it be the thing that comes out of your mouth. And number four, we'll have a ready answer to speak what we believe, not our fears and doubts. Did you get something today? Let's give Jesus a big clap offering.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.